Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 396. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at ToolShedPod. Rolling solo in this one, but got a lot to talk about. Already had a pretty fun outline before Sunday evening rolled around, and then the Red Sox give me another great talking point to add to the docket, which I'll start out with. But before I get to that, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content on RotoBaller or on my Patreon, which is at toolshedfantasy.com, also linked in my Twitter bio as well. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on RotoBaller with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, import your leagues with TeamSync, and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with RotoBaller's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout to get 10% off any premium package. All right, let's start with the Red Sox shocking trade of Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants. I'm going to save all of the non-fantasy implications for my other podcast, my Red Sox podcast that I do, and I'm just going to focus on the, you know, obviously the fantasy implications. That's what you're here for. This is a fantasy baseball podcast, not a Red Sox podcast, but shocking trade, to say the least. I mean, you know, Red Sox had just come off of sweeping the Yankees. We're getting it going, and then they trade Devers to the Giants. The return package is, you know, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, outfield prospect James Tibbs, and also another prospect, Jose Bayo, as well. All right, so let's start with the, you know, implications for Devers. I mean, Devers, after that ridiculously terrible start where I believe he was 0 for 19 with 15 strikeouts or something very close to that, has been, you know, maybe having one of the best years of his career. I mean, 272, 401, 504 slash line, 15 home runs, and 334 plate appearances. All of his quality of contact metrics are elite this year. 16% barrel rate, 94 mile an hour average exit velocity, 55.5% hard hit rate. All three of those would be career high marks for Devers. Same with his 16.7% walk rate, and the K rate is 23% as well, kind of in line with his career rate of 21.3%. So really, after that tough start, he's been hitting the cover off the ball. Yes, the contact skills, they're below average. And, you know, to be frank, maybe even a little bit below that. I mean, it's a 70.2% zone contact rate and a 67% overall contact rate. However, he's chasing less this year. He was over 30% every year of his career entering 2025. Now it's 24.2%. All right, so that kind of helps offset, you know, that lower contact skills. Plus, when you factor in, you know, the elite quality of contact, that can, you know, again, helps offset those bad or, you know, really borderline terrible contact rates. Then you look at, you know, the park factors, you know, and for a guy like Devers, I think, I mean, you always have to look at the park factors at least to some degree, but I think it matters a little bit less with these elite hitters, right? You know, like Devers has great power. He's going to succeed really anywhere he goes. You know, it's not like a, you know, just another Red Sox example, Andrew Benintendi, who was like middle of the road power. You know, Devers obviously is an elite lefty power bat, you know, but Fenway was actually playing very favorably in general to lefties, you know, not in terms of home runs. Like over the last 3 years, they had the second best park factor for lefties behind Coors, but not for home runs. Home runs was 22nd for lefties. If you get rid of the rolling 3 year and just go with this year, so let's see, the park factor, Fenway was tied for fourth with Dodger Stadium behind Coors Field, Camden, and Sutter Health Park, you know, that AAA venue where the Athletics are currently playing. But then for home run power, it was 18th. So again, still it's a below average, you know, power park for lefties. Then you look at the Giants ballpark here, Oracle Park, even worse for left-handed power this year, 22nd, tied for 22nd with Target Field in terms of left-handed power, and the overall park factor is 15th. So kind of middle of the road there, you know, but more of a pitcher park. You know, Oracle's always played, you know, more of a pitcher-friendly venue, especially for left-handed batters. You know, not as much for right-handed batters, but yeah, so slight downgrade there. But again, I don't think it matters too much with Devers. You know, he goes into, you know, a lineup which has been, you know, I think okay. I mean, they got some guys, you know, Jung-Hoo Lee, you know, pretty solid, you know, underrated guy in the leadoff spot. Helio Ramos has been emerging, you know, but then after that, it's been like the bottom two thirds of the lineup, especially with Chapman. You know, currently on the IL with a sprained hand, you know, it's been pretty underwhelming. So right now you probably see Devers slot into, you know, I'd assume the two spots, or maybe they go, you know, if they want to go lefty, righty, lefty, maybe they move Devers to the three, Ramos to the two. That way when Chapman comes back, he can go to the four. But right now, you know, right behind him, it's going to be like Willy Adames, who's not having a great year whatsoever. You know, they just got Dom Smith in there. He's been hitting, you know, fifth-ish. You know, Casey Schmidt, Mike Yastrzemski, Tyler Fitzgerald. So, yeah, that bottom two-thirds of that lineup is not great. And, you know, they'll probably add Bryce Eldridge into it at some point here. You know, but it's still a pretty poor bottom half of the lineup. So I think there's slight downgrade for Park, downgrade for lineup. But again, it's not like Devers' value is going to fall off a cliff or anything like that. I mean, he's still a top 50 player. So if you want to call this, you know, a slight downgrade, sure. You know, but it's not like the end of the world. Like if you roster Devers, like I don't think he's going to fall off like Willy Adames fell off. Like Devers is a better hitter than Adames. He hits the ball harder. You know, so I wouldn't really worry too much about Devers. Slight downgrade, but no reason to hit the panic button. And then you got going to the other side here, going to the Boston Red Sox in this deal. You got two pitchers, you get Jordan Hicks and Kyle Harrison. I don't really know what to make of Hicks anymore. Like every time I feel like I have Hicks figured out, it goes completely the other way. I kind of fade him. He starts pitching well. I, you know, pop him up rankings. He starts tanking. You know, right now, 6.47 ERA this year in 48 and two thirds innings. 154 whip, 9.2% walk rate to a 19.8% strikeout rate. It's a guy that I was actually buying into coming into the year. I mean, last year he started off really hot and faded as the season went on, but there were some encouraging, you know, metrics under the hood. You know, the ground ball rate was good. He had some good whiff rate offerings, and that's still kind of the case. You know, this year he has a 58.7% ground ball rate. Only an 8.7% pull air rate, which is absolutely elite for a pitcher. You know, his sweeper has a 44% whiff rate on it, 245 batting average against, and his splitter has a 35.7% whiff rate on it. You know, the problem is, you know, the sinker gets hit around a bit too much, and he's just not missing as many bats overall as he has in the past. You know, the last 2 years, the whiff rate, after being 28% in 2023, has dropped to right around 24.5%, which is still close to league average, you know, but the metrics aren't terrible. I mean, you look at surface ERA, you know, being up over six, you'd imagine, you know, under the hood being a lot worse than it actually is. You know, it's just the fact that he hasn't been able to put hitters away, you know, as consistently as he had in the past. You know, at least the walk rate's come down. Like last, it's actually a career best walk rate this year, which is still a little high, but 9.2%, absolutely manageable, you know, compared to the, you know, 11 to 13% it used to be. But he has a 3.86 xERA this year, you know, not giving up, you know, a lot of barrels. And he does give up a lot of hard contact, you know, 45% hard hit rate allowed, but a lot of it's into the ground, as I mentioned. You know, so there's still a lot of, you know, decent things to be somewhat encouraged by under the hood. You know, will he ever put it all together? I don't know. I mean, we've seen it in spurts, and I'm sure we'll continue to see it in spurts. But whatever, all click to the point where he's, you know, a good, reliable fantasy arm for a full season. I don't know. That's hard to say. It's given the inconsistencies we've seen from Hicks. But he's still, he's only 28 years old. You know, I think there's still a chance he could turn around. Like, he's a guy where if the price tag was like cheap or free, you know, he's an upside flyer where it won't be a super high risk move for you. So, and that, if that's the move you can make right now, fine. I wouldn't like be rushing out to get Hicks by any means, but I think there's still at least some intrigue here. So maybe a change of scenery will do him well. Maybe the Red Sox can unlock something in him or make a change. Maybe he goes to the splitter a bit more, which I think would actually be good. The splitter has actually gone down, oddly enough, because last year the splitter was a really good offering for him. 181 batting average against, 287 slug, and a 40.8% whiff rate last year. Used it 19% of the time. This year he's using it 6% of the time. So the usage rate has been cut by, you know, a third. It's still a good offering for him. I don't know. I'm not sure what the reasoning was behind that. He's been primarily sinker sweeper this year, you know, with a four seamer and splitter, you know, sprinkled in. You know, the four seamer has never been a big offering for him, but I would like to see him get that splitter going more again. If he does, I think there might be a buying window to be had here with Jordan Hicks. As for Kyle Harrison, you know, for all of you that have followed my work over the years, whether it be on this podcast, previous podcasts, writing, whatever, just tweets in general, I've never been the biggest Kyle Harrison guy. He is, like, the fastball is good. You know, the four seamer this year, 175 batting average against, 317 slug. Then he also goes with a slurve and a changeup, though the changeup he does has not thrown once against lefties this year. So really, he's a three-pitch guy against righties, four-seam, slurve, changeup. And against lefties, it's just four-seam and slurve. And the slurve has not been a good offering this year whatsoever. Last year, it was... It wasn't good. Last year was 274 batting average against, 452 slug, only a 27.7% whiff rate last year. This year it's gotten just absolutely terrible. 381 batting average against, 810 slug, 512 wOBA, and a 29% whiff rate. He really only can put hitters away with his fastball. And again, it's a good fastball. The velo has ticked up a lot this year. Then that's encouraging. Last year was 92.5 miles an hour on that four-seamer. This year, 95.1. That is very, very encouraging. He's getting more, you know, he's getting more riding life on it as well. You know, it's just a really good offering for him right now. But at the same time, this guy does not get ground balls. He allows way too much hard contact. You know, he's giving up a 48.5% hard hit rate, 92.8 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 10.6% barrel rate. You know, and all that is in the air. You look at his pull air rate, 15%. Air rate overall is about 64%. Again, he just can't put hitters away with anything but the fastball, and that's a problem. So that's why you're seeing, you know, he's been in the league for 3 years. He's only 23. Let me just, you know, put that out there. He's still only 23 years old, but you almost kind of feel like you know what he is at this point, and it's going to need to take, you know, a massive change for him to, I think, maybe rise from this level of middle of the road mediocrity that he's currently been in, where it's like, all right, you get like a mid fours ERA from him, you know, not a great whip, and a, you know, around league average K rate, which granted it's been 25% this year. It's a little bit above league average. You know, walk rates been around league average for the most part. This year it's up to 9%, but it was below 8% in both 2023 and 2024. But I'm just not a Harrison guy. Again, he's young. Maybe the Red Sox can, you know, unlock something with him that San Fran couldn't. You know, former top prospect. He was once a, you know, highly thought of pitching prospect, but I've always been a bit lower on Harrison the most. I mean, I think if you're going to have your most used secondary be the slurve, which is just absolutely terrible this year, and then just not really go with the changeup much, only go with the changeup against righties. And the changeup's been, you know, it's been all right. It has a 31% whiff rate, but .286 batting average against on it. It's really the four seam has been good, and secondaries have been mediocre at best. So not looking to, I'd rather go after Hicks than Harrison, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not super high on either anymore. You know, Hicks, again, is super inconsistent. Harrison, it's a lot of things to fix. So I'm not really looking to go after either of those guys right now. You know, the other, you know, fantasy relevant name in this trade, you know, James Tibbs the third here, you know, former top 10 overall pick last year. Or no, was he the third? No, he maybe wasn't top 10. Where was he? He was around 13th overall. I knew it was somewhere in the vicinity of top 10, you know, out of Florida State. You know, this year started off slow, but has come on over the last several weeks. He's got 12 home runs in 56 games, 252 plate appearances, all of which were in high A, 245, 377, 480 slash line. I mean, this is a bat first guy, which, you know, contact more so prominent than the power. You know, contact skills this year, you know, about 76% contact rate. That's good. You know, walk rate 16.3%, K rate 17.9%. So I think you could say he's in the, you know, 55 grade hit tool guy. Power, you know, I mean, he's starting to hit more power this year. That's never been an area that stands out for him. You know, I think long term, he's more of an average power bat. You know, maybe he's a guy that gets up in the upper teens for home runs, you know, maybe low 20s. I don't even know if I'd say mid 20s with him, maybe at peak. But this is not like a 30-plus homer bat or anything like that. This is a solid, but, you know, an unspectacular bat. This doesn't, nothing stands out in the profile, and he's really limited to being, you know, a corner outfield type. There's like not a lot of speed here, not a lot of defensive versatility. Like, he, you know, can't play center. So this is a corner outfield guy. But again, it's a solid bat. You know, I have him ranked in my top 500 prospect rankings here. I have Tibbs ranked and, you know, around 250. Maybe that's a little low. Maybe I should bump him up, but he might be in the top 200 range. I got to reevaluate James Tibbs right now, but not a guy that I'm like super high, you know, excited about. You know, again, solid prospect, not a standout one, but yeah, overall, this is a very, very weird deal right now for the Red Sox here, but some fantasy implications there. But let's get to the other prospect promotions here from over the last week or so. You know, another one happened, you know, today on Sunday when I'm recording this. You know, obviously you're listening Monday, Tuesday or whatever. Brady House got called up right in the middle of all of that kind of, you know, Devers pandemonium. And so I kind of missed it for, you know, 45 minutes or so because I was freaking out and tweeting and texting my friends and everything. And there's, yeah, whole ordeal. But, you know, House did get the call up. You know, he's been a guy that's really been pretty stagnant in like that 70 to 100 range in my prospect rankings. I think maybe he got close to top 50 at one point for me. I can't remember off the top of my head. He definitely's risen above, you know, better than 70 in my rankings. But for the most part, 70 to 100 has been kind of the area of my top 500 prospect rankings where he's lived this year. For AAA Rochester, 283 plate appearances, slashing .304, .353, .519, 15 doubles, and 13 home runs. You know, under the hood, quality of contact is solid, 90.5 mile an hour average exit velocity, 46% hard hit rate, 10% barrel rate. Contact skills are, you know, a tick below average, nothing, you know, no major red flags, but it's a 78% zone. And just below a 70% overall contact rate there. You know, so he's a guy where, you know, he just screams like a 250 hitter. I don't think he's ever going to be 270, 280 plus, nothing like that. Contact skills never really warranted that. but he's consistently shown, you know, above average power. I think he could be a 20 plus homer bat, maybe mid 20s, maybe even, you know, get a 30 home run season or two in there, you know, down the road. I think that's definitely in the cards for Brady House. You know, in my weekly article on Rotoball, or my top 25 prospects to stash for redraft that comes out every Monday, which will be out again today when you're listening to this, probably, you know, House has been, you know, a name that I've been ranking fairly highly in that, you know, set of rankings, just because, you know, Jose Tina had been starting at third base primarily for the Nationals and just not doing a whole lot. So you figured, all right, you know, now that we're, you know, into the middle part of June here, and figure they'd give House the call. So I imagine they're going to give him plenty of run here because the Nationals are, you know, not good this year. They're not contending. You have really nobody else to, you know, to play there outside of this mediocre options like Jose Tena. So I think they're going to give House a good amount of run. I expect him to struggle a little bit here. I think he'll pop some home runs, but you know, maybe he's only hitting 220, 230 a month from now. You know, but long-term, this is a guy that I don't think ever becomes a starting caliber third baseman for fantasy, but I think he could get into, you know, corner in, like a starting corner infielder territory. Again, if he's 250, 255, 260, something like that, with 25 home runs, give or take, to go along with, you know, solid run production as well. Top of this Nationals lineup, I mean, the overall team is still, you know, really struggling, but they have some pieces there. So, you know, it's not like he's going up and just getting into an absolutely terrible lineup. You know, he's going to be hitting, and I'm not sure where they're going to put him. Maybe it's like fifth or sixth or something like that. But, you know, you got James Wood, you got CJ Abrams. So you got some pieces there. Not going to be a guy that gives you a lot of speed, more than a few steals a year probably. But, you know, can he be, again, a 250, 25 homer guy, gives you like 80 runs, 80 RBIs or something like that? I think that's definitely possible from House long term. So, you know, good bat, but I don't think he ever rises to, you know, top 10 third baseman or anything like that. Next one here, we got Jacob Mizorowski. Made his major league debut on, I believe it was a Thursday, I think it was. Yeah, it was the day there wasn't a lot of games going on, but at least you got Mizorowski's debut. He's five shutout innings, or five no-hit innings, technically. Did have four walks, five strikeouts. Was started the sixth through three straight balls, and then as he received the, you know, ball back from the catcher, was walking back up the mound, got his cleat caught, rolled his ankle a little bit. I mean, he's fine. He's making his next start. But they pulled him out. You know, he was already at, 86 pitches at that time. So I think he's probably going to be out pretty soon anyway, you know, within that next batter or two. So why risk it with, you know, one of your top overall prospects, you know, one of the top overall pitching prospects in the game? Right now, I have Mizorowski as my number five pitching prospect right now, and he's kind of like in a tier by himself, because I think tier one for me is Chase Burns, is Travis Sikora, Bubba Chandler, Andrew Painter, and then Mizorowski's kind of like in, you know, tier like 1B or 2A, whatever you want to put it, and then it drops off a little bit more down to like Noah Schultz and Trey Savage and Thomas White and all those guys. But my number five pitching prospect, he's inside my top 50 overall. And Mizorowski's been one where it's been really hard to rank him over the years. Like, the stuff is absolutely elite. I mean, you saw him popping triple digits, I think 18 or 19 times I counted in his debut. So, like, 20% of his pitches were 100-plus miles an hour. I think he topped at, like, 102.4 or something like that. It's an elite fastball. And he brings in two plus breaking balls in his curveball and his slider. So, you know, there's a lot of upside here with Jacob Mizorowski. And you saw that in his debut. But what you also saw was the, you know, the walk issues that have really always been there. And that's why I was fading him a bit. I mean, he was still top 100 for me. And I never like dropped him too far in my rankings. But, you know, earlier this season, it was more of the same from him. It was a lot of walks. So I'm like, man, is this guy destined for the bullpen? You know, that's kind of like the thought that was creeping into my mind and caused me to bump him down like into like the third tier of pitching prospects. But then, you know, something clicked with him because after he had four walks in the seventh start of the year on May 3rd, then after that, it was one walk on May 9th in 6 2/3, one walk in seven innings on May 15th, one walk in three innings on May 21st. I don't remember why he got pulled after three innings that game. I there was a reason, I can't remember off the top of my head. And then two walks in four innings. So you're like, all right, you know, this is, you know, this is getting better. You know, you look at, was it those four starts? And yeah, I guess it was only four starts. But he had five walks in 20 2/3. And really, if you kind of go back a little bit further, yeah, you include that four walk outing on the 3rd of May. Then before that was zero walks in five innings on the 27th of April and one walk in six innings on the 22nd of April. So you've put those three starts in to give you a bit of a larger sample size. So over seven starts, 37 2/3 innings from April 22nd to May 26th, you had 10 walks in 37 2/3 innings for Mizorowski. You know, that is a 7% walk rate. And oh yeah, he had a 0.96 ERA during that time and a 35% strikeout rate. All I was calling for was like, man, get at the 10%, the walk rate. You know, you've heard me say this time and time again, 10%, while it's high, you know, if you have the strikeout stuff, like I call it the Freddy Peralta rule. You know, if you have the elite swing and miss stuff that Mizorowski obviously has, you can live with a higher than league average walk rate. It's when you get to that 12% range and above where I'm like, all right, this is not going to work for the most part. You're probably going to be super inconsistent and or head to the bullpen eventually. You just don't see a lot of guys maintain a high level of production with a walk rate that high. I mean, we can look at it right now. I can go to, you know, the walk rate leaderboard here. So let's go, you know, let's go. It's only 75 qualified guys. Let's drop it down to like 50 innings. Yeah, that gives us 124 pitchers this year. And let's see, you know, who's up there with a 12% walk rate. So there's only a few of them. Gavin Williams, 12.9%, wildly inconsistent this year. Yusei Kikuchi, same thing. Jack Leiter, y'all know my thoughts on Jack Leiter. Randy Vasquez, 11.9%. Jose Soriano, Luis Ortiz, Charlie Morton, Sandy Alcantara. Stop me when you heard a guy that's actually been good this year. You know, Chase Dolander, there's not a lot of high-end arms there. And that you can go back year after year. That's always been the case. So that's why I was starting to fade Mizorowski at least a little bit. But I was moving him back up when he started showing better control, you know, filling the zone a bit more than he had in the past. But then it's kind of gone the other way over his last, you know, handful of starts. You know, so after that stretch ended, he then had six walks in two innings on the 31st of May, three walks in five innings on the 7th of June, and then his major league debut, four walks in five innings. Long story short, I'm still not sure where we're gonna see Mizorowski end up in the walk rate department, but if he can just keep it close to 10%, even 11% and 11, with his ability to miss bats with that high 90s to 100 plus mile an hour fastball and the two elite breakers he has, he includes a very sporadic changeup, but it's really fastball, curveball, slider. And that's what you saw in his debut, but he can miss bats with all three of those offerings. And, you know, the upside is I don't say this very often, it's ace upside, it's frontline upside. However, you know, the downside is, you know, a maddening, you know, pitcher to roster in fantasy. So, you know, if you don't like these guys, I get it. You know, I'm usually opposed to going after these types with the higher walk rate, but at the same time, you know, he is a very, very exciting pitching prospect, my number five overall, as I mentioned. And, you know, he's one where if anybody can make it work, I think, you know, he would be one that could.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
All right. The last, you know, bigger promotion of the week here. We got Christian Moore of the Los Angeles Angels. You know, Christian Moore has kind of become, maybe an enigma is a, you know, too strong of a word, but, you know, he is a very interesting prospect. I will say that. I mean, obviously, you know, he was drafted high last year. It was eighth overall by the Angels out of Tennessee. Had a very good career at Tennessee. Had that ridiculously hot start, you know, to his professional career, where I believe it was like 6 home runs in his first 8 games or something like that. But then after that, he struggled a lot, you know, over, you know, the rest of the season. And I think that hot start kind of made it so people, you know, the overall line was still, you know, fairly decent, but there were some concerns last season. And then, you know, this year, kind of more of those concerns were there. I mean, we're looking at a 27% strikeout rate this year and below average contact skills too. I mean, the contact skills right now, you know, he was around 68% overall, sub 70% in zone. You know, there's power here. There absolutely is power in here. And, you know, he was hitting very well in AAA, you know, but I think, you know, the surface stats and the, you know, underlying metrics in AAA, you know, paint a different picture. I mean, the surface stats were very, very good, but under the hood, you know, it wasn't as impressive as you might think it would be. You know, look at, he had in, what was it, 20 games, 92 plate appearances. He had 4 home runs, 3 steals, 18 RBI, 16 runs scored, 350, 424, 575 slash line with a 13% walk rate. All right, great. You know, K rate a little high, 27.3%. But at the same time, as I mentioned, the, you know, underlying metrics weren't great. A 90.2 mile an hour average exit velocity, 39% hard hit rate, 10.7% barrel rate. All right, those are solid. You know, not spectacular, but fine. But he was also running a 68, 69% overall contact rate and a sub 80% zone contact rate. He's one where, you know, long term, the power speed blend is pretty exciting for sure. Like, he could be 25 to 30 homer bat while giving at least, I mean, not a lot of steals, but he could be like a 5 to 10 steal guy. But I wonder if he's more like a 240 to 250 hitter. I mean, if he's giving you 25 and 10, you know, you'll take that from second base. As we know, this position has really gone kind of downhill the last couple of years. But, you know, I just don't see a high average from him. You know, he'll probably give you a bit of a better OBP than he will average in terms of impact for your fantasy team. But I'm just, you know, not super high on Christian Moore. I think I'm lower than most on him right now, so I'm more of a sell than a buy camp for him right now. Again, good power bat, but I just question if, you know, he just hits for a low average to the point where maybe he's bounced back out of the lineup to AAA at some point this year. All right, keeping it with the Angels, though, Joe Adell is trying his darndest to mash his way back into our lives. Are we buying it? I mean, it feels like that scene from The Godfather. It's like, just when I'm out, they pull me back in. You know, that was, I think, Godfather Part 3, right? I haven't seen those movies in a bit. So pardon me if I'm wrong. I'm sure someone's screaming at me that it's Part 2 or whatever. I think it's the third one. But anyway, Joe Adell, he's still only 26. I feel like he's been around a lot longer than that. It does to me, at least. 26 years old. But he has been absolutely mashing lately. You know, in June, 279, 367, 698 with 6 home runs. He finished May really hot too. Overall had 5 home runs in 76 plate appearances last month. So his last 121 plate appearances, he's got 11 home runs, only 3 doubles, but 11 home runs so far. But we've seen hot stretches from Joe Adell before. So it's like, all right, why do I want to buy into this time? I get your hesitancy. I'm also hesitant myself. But at the same time, this is also the best Joe Adell under the hood that we've ever seen. Quality of contact, career best across the board right now. It's a 13.7% barrel rate, 90.5 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 46.8% hard hit rate. He's also continued to drop the K rate, was, you know, upper 30s to even over 40% in 2023 was at 40.3%, dropped it to 27.9% last year. Now it's 24.6%. He's still a below average walk rate guy. That's probably never going to change. He's 5.7% this year, but he also hits the ball at ideal angles. It's a 21.6% pull air rate, and the contact sales are also better than they've ever been. Still below average, but it's an 80.8% zone and 70.8% overall contact rate. That's better than when he was 72% zone and 63% overall. Those were rates that aren't going to get it done. You know, being slightly below average while you hit the ball as hard as he does, I mean, that can play. That can still absolutely play. You know, he's still a good runner. You know, he's not really stealing as much as he used to, but this is still probably like a, you know, 10, 12 steal guy, maybe even 15. And the bat speed is absolutely elite. You know, and the X stats are right in line. He's got a 274 XBA. They're even better. 274 XBA right now and a 544 X slug. All right. I mean, I'm starting to feel better about the profile. I mean, he's probably always going to be inconsistent. I think that's never going to escape him. Like, that's always going to be part of the profile and something we have to deal with when rostering a Joe Adell. But again, there's reasons to be encouraged here. There's some career best metrics under the hood, you know? So I think I'm buying in a little bit. I'm not like rushing out like, oh, I got to go get Joe Adell on my team at all costs. No, not that. But again, this is the most confident I've been in recommending Joe Adell as a potential dynasty buy right now. So take that, you know, interpret all that however you want to. I mean, again, I get it if you're a bit, you know, scared off by him. Totally get it. But again, some good metrics under the hood there. What about Evan Carter, though? You know, also, you know, getting back into, you know, our, you know, back on the fantasy map. You know, Carter, top prospect, you know, coming up through the Texas system, had that great 2023, you know, end of the season slash run to the, you know, World Series with them, where he was, you know, everyone wanted Evan Carter, right? You know, he is dealing with a little bit of an injury right now, though he did come back today. So it was a wrist thing. He just kind of jammed it on the bag, but came back today. So we can all rest assured there that there's no like IL stint upcoming for Evan Carter. But overall, 72 plate appearances, 4 home runs, 5 steals, 281, 361, 516 slash line. Carter's never been a guy, even when he was, you know, going well at his peak. I mean, almost at peak when he was 21, but like, you know, when his value was peak for what it's been so far, he's never been a guy that like mashed the ball. He is around the league average exit velocity, even right now when he's hitting well. It's 87.7 mile an hour EV, 36% hard hit rate. Those are actually both slightly below league average. However, it's a 12% barrel rate, 38% sweet spot rate, 16.2 average launch angle. You know, he's a guy that hits the ball at ideal angles. He's got a 20% pull air rate, 64% overall air rate. You know, he gets the pull side 38% of the time. You know, the only goes oppo 18% of the time. So he maximizes the power by hitting the ball at ideal angles. And he's also got above average contact rates, or at least in zone, he's 84%, 84.3 to be exact. You know, overall, it's a bit below average, actually, at about 73% overall, but not a guy that chases a lot, and it's better than league average chase rate by a good margin. He's about roughly 7% better than league average chase rate, only 21.6%, so that definitely helps. He's still a premium athlete. He's a 93rd percentile sprint speed right now, so I think he's a guy that, you know, hits the ball hard enough when you factor in the launch angle and the batted ball, you know, angles that he has, could get to 20 home runs over a full year. I'd be hesitant to say anything more than that. But could he be a 2025 guy? Yeah. I think that's still in there for Carter with a solid, you know, enough average. I don't think he's going to be a low average guy. I mean, the contact skills are decent enough. And you know, he's running a 10.3% walk rate and a 14.7% strikeout rate right now. So he's back down to being that, you know, great approach guy that we saw from him in the minors. You know, the key rate had kind of gone up over the last couple of years, but I think the issue with him that I have, at least, and I'm sure that many have, is still the durability. Can we count on him to be there all season? I mean, the back issues. I mean, he's healthy now, and we see what he's capable of when he's healthy. But I'm still a bit hesitant to invest too heavily, given the back issues at such a young age and all that goes into a, you know, swinging a bat, throwing a ball, running the bases. It's a lot on that core. Anybody that's even played like high school ball knows that it's a lot on your core, on the rib area, this the middle part of your body. So, you know, one bad swing and is he out again? So it's, I'm still a bit hesitant just due to, you know, the questions with his durability, but you know, the upside is still absolutely there. So I'd be fine, you know, buying into Evan Carter right now in Dynasty Leagues. All right, a couple more pitchers here to talk about. Ben Kasparis moving into more of an expanded role here with the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, Kasparis, I mean, outside of Yamamoto, who has been, you know, phenomenal for the most part this year, you can make an argument that Kasparis has been their most, you know, outside of Yamamoto again, their second most reliable arm, you know, this year. I mean, he's kind of pitched in a Swiss Army knife role for them. It's kind of wherever they need him to pitch, you know, but this is a team that's been riddled with injuries. You know, Glasnow is on the IL right now. Gonsolin's back on the IL. Sasaki's on the IL and just got shut down from throwing. You know, Snell's on the IL. You know, that, and then you get into, you know, Gavin Stone, Emmett Sheehan, River Ryans. Look at the injured list for this team on roster resource. It is a very, very long list. So, you know, Kasparis has been one of the guys they've called upon to fill those innings, you know, whether it be as an opener, you know, a few innings in the middle of the game. You know, he has been phenomenal for this team this year. And he's made 20, you know, technically two starts and 20 relief appearances. But again, they've been usually multiple inning. He's averaging two innings per outing right now. 44 innings, 46 strikeouts, 286 ERA, 102 WHIP, 5.1% walk rate, and a 26% strikeout rate. XERA right in line at 2.88. He's a four-pitch guy, four-seamer, sweeper, cutter, curveball, all of which he uses at least 14% of the time. You know, curveball being the lowest at 14.4%. But he's in four different velocity bands, which is I always like to see. Four-seamer is about 96. Cutter's in the low 90s, averaging 91.9. Then you got the mid-80s sweeper and the low 80s curveball. And he uses all four of those to both righties and lefties. Another thing that everyone knows me knows I like that a lot, too. You know, it's a lot of good. I mean, look at just past the arsenal. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of ground balls. I think the one thing that you could kind of nitpick is that he doesn't get a lot of ground balls. And the pull error rate is a bit higher than you like to see from a pitcher at 18%. But he's not getting up much hard contact at all. He's actually in the, where was it here? 96th percentile in terms of hard hit rate allowed at 29.5%, only a 5.7% barrel rate allowed. You know, we'll have to see how he responds to being in that, you know, in bigger, you know, five, six inning, you know, roles. I mean, he did four innings on the 11th against the Padres, three hits, one run, two walks, two strikeouts. He's pitched four innings again on the 5th of May against the Marlins. But he's never gone kind of longer than that this year. It's been a lot of two, three inning, you know, some one inning outings too. So when they start pushing him and expanding him into four or five, maybe even six innings, does he still have that same effectiveness? I think yes. Like, you know, and I got to give a shout out and credit to Chris Clegg. I remember back in what year would it have been? 2023, I believe, when we were out in the Arizona Fall League. Clegg was all over Kaspera. He's like, man, I like this arm. I remember just sitting in the ballpark with Clegg, you know, at, I forget what team Kaspera was on. I think, oh, Glendale. Dodgers are always assigned to Glendale because that's their facility at the Glendale Desert Dogs. And he's like, man, I like Kaspera. He's one of the most impressive arms I've seen out here. You know, so Clegg was on him very early, and it's really paid off. I mean, Kaspera has looked very good, you know, with the Dodgers right now. You know, he goes, you know, four-seamer up, sweeper. You know, he commands all his pitches fairly well, especially four-seam, sweeper, and cutter. So I'm definitely intrigued. He limits hard contact, can miss bats, and doesn't walk too many guys. You know, he's got three of those four offerings have a whiff rate above 30%, the four-seam, the sweeper, and the curve. The cutter's at 22%. All of them are below a 230 batting average against and below a 380 slug allowed. So a lot of good there. So, yeah, I think Kasperius is a pretty solid buy right now. Last name I'll talk about today, Zach Gallen. Is he broken? Maybe, but he's one where under the hood isn't quite as bad as you think. I mean, right now he's running a 5.19 ERA. Just a lot of another four earned and six innings the other day. It's a 1.35 WHIP, but xERA a little better at 4.4. He's allowing a lot of hard contact, though. That's kind of the concern right now. 10.5% barrel rate, 46% hard hit rate. Walk rate's ticked up again to 10.7%, so you don't like to see that. And the strikeout rate is down to 21.7%, which is also a career worst mark for Gallen. But at the same time, I'm not ready to say that Gallen's just done being an impact arm for fantasy. Yeah, it's going kind of poorly right now, but there's not like any major red flags. Like, oh, the velocity's falling off. I mean, it's 0.4 miles an hour down on the fastball, but he still has a good knuckle curve, you know, low 80s knuckle curve. That's always been his bread and butter offering. Yeah, it hasn't been as good this year, but it still has a 42.7% whiff rate, 229 batting average against on that. The four-seamer has actually not been terrible either. It's a 237 batting average against and a 395 slug. Changeup, 133 batting average against, 156 slug, and a 33% whiff rate. Slider, it's given up a few home runs, so the slug on the slider is pretty high, but 222 batting average against and a 32% whiff rate on the slider. He's still a five-pitch guy. He throws to both righties and lefties. So he gets a, you know, an okay, you know, he's still right around league average ground ball rate. And the whiff rate is actually the exact same as last year. So even though the K rate's gone down, the whiff rate's the exact same as it basically has been the last 2 years. The chase rate's really the thing that's kind of dropped. It's been a 25.7% chase rate, where the last few years has been like 29 to 31% or so. So it's not like there's any major like glaring alarms going off here or any red flags where you're like, oh no, Gallen's about to, you know, be irrelevant. No. Is he going to be maybe not, you know, top 25 arm anymore? Maybe not. But I think Gallen is better than this. I think you'll see him turn it around a little bit. You know, I don't know if there's, I mean, at this point, it's hard to say there's still some World Series hangover because that's a couple years ago now. Last year, we were using that excuse, which I think was valid. But this year, you know, hard to say if that's still affecting him after all those innings in 2023. Because last year, he only pitched 148 innings. So, again, maybe not top 25 Gallen anymore. Maybe he's not a guy one of your guys you build your dynasty rotation around long term. But I think this could still be like a top 50 to top 60, 70 arm or so. I don't think Gallen's going to fall off a cliff. That's what I'm saying. So I think you can maybe even buy low right now. I think the price tag is dropping to a point where people are starting to be concerned about Gallen. So I think right now might be a good time to swoop in and try to get him at 80 cents on the dollar. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. A lot of fun names here, adding the Devers stuff, some prospect promotions, a little bit of everything in this episode. I'll be back with you again next week with a guest lined up for that one. But until then, everyone take care.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.